Welcome to Torat Imecha Haftorah with the OU Women's Initiative. This week we will be studying the Haftorah for Parsha Shkalim. Parsha Shkalim is one of the four Arba Parashiot, the special Parashiot that take us from the beginning of Adar until Rosh Chodesh Nisan, actually, from Purim to Pesach, if you will. Parsha Shkalim is read from Parshas Ki Tisa in the book of Shemos. Parsha Shkalim details or informs us of the half a shekel, the machatzit a shekel contribution that every male was obligated to bring annually for the Korbanot Tzibur. And why is it read to coincide with Rosh Chodesh Adar? The reason is because this half shekel contribution was due Rosh Chodesh Nisan, so they needed to give people time to get it together, to bring their contributions. They needed a reminder. So a month before the half a shekel is due, then the Beit in the Sanhedrin, the courts, the officers would advise and would say the half a shekel is due in a month, and therefore we read this in conjunction with Rosh Chodesh Adar. Of course, there are also deeper reasons having to do with Haman and the shkalim that he weighed out to Achashverosh, and Gosh Baruch Hu said, "Let our shekels, the shekel of the half a shekel, come and precede Haman Shkalim." Okay, where do we read the Haftorah from? The Haftorah is a beautiful Haftorah, read from Malachim Bet, Sefer Malachim Bet, Perek Yud Bet, Aleph through Yud Zayin. Actually, Sfardim and Chabad Chasidim begin at the end of Perek Yud Aleph, Psukim Yud Zayin through Chaf. They finish Perek Yud Aleph in Malachim Bet, and then they, like Ashkenazim, continue into Perek Yud Bet of the Haftorah, which is what we are going to be discussing. So let us have an overview of what this Haftorah is about. First, I quote from the Art School Stone Edition Overview. The special Torah reading of the day contains a moral lesson. A Jew measures his worth, his standing in the nation, by having a share in the maintenance of the temple and the service that takes place. So remember, the half a shekel contribution was for the korbanot tzibur that were purchased every year. It's for the upkeep of the Beit HaMikdash. The Haftorah follows this theme. The Haftorah shows that this theme is an extension of a great spiritual and political revolution in the kingdom of Yehuda. Queen Atalia, a vicious and wicked woman, worthy of her accursed parents, Achav and Izabel, assassinated every member of her family so she could rule over Malchut Yehuda, whose late king she had married. Only one grandson, Yehoash, was saved. Yehoash was saved, and the Haftorah is about the revolution in spirituality and in proper accounting and contributions to the Mikdash that he will bring in his time. Yehoash was saved, and therefore he was spirited away actually as a child by the righteous Kohen Gadol Yehoyada. When Yehoash was 7 years old, his savior and mentor introduced him to the nation. Like the first Pasuk of the Haftorah says, Perek Yud Bet, Pasuk Aleph, Ben Sheva Shanim Yehoash B'macho. Yehoash was 7 years old when he began to rule. The nation embraced him enthusiastically. As long as the Kohen Gadol Yehoyada was alive, the young king remained righteous and brought profound improvement in the life of his people. Among his great achievements was to restore the dignity and beauty of the temple. How? He instituted a system of collecting funds for its upkeep. After the failure of an ill-conceived and improper plan that turned the Kohanim into traveling appeal makers for the temple, the king began a new system, which we read about in the Haftorah. The people would show their love and loyalty by bringing contributions to the Beit HaMikdash. A sorry era had ended, a tragic era had ended, a new bright one had begun. I also want to quote from Rabbi Dor Jonathan Sachs, Zichron Levracha, and then we will look at the Psukim themselves. The Haftorah for Parshat Shkalim. The events of the Haftorah transpire during the reign of Yoash. Okay, his full name is Yehoash, but he's also called Yoash. The events of this Haftorah transpired during the reign of Yoash, king of Yehuda, and Yehoyada, the Kohen Gadol who saved him, who was also Yoash's uncle. Before Yoash was crowned, the kingdom had been ruled for 6 years by wicked Queen Atalia from the family of King Achav of Israel, which we already said. I know this is a bit of a chazara. Atalia despised and neglected the temple in Jerusalem, and her tyrannical rule was ended by a revolution in which she was killed. However, the kingdom of Yehuda was plagued by spiritual and political crises. The revolt of Yehu to the north. The temple was introduction of idolatry into the temple. Waning political and military power. The state had fallen into a sorry state indeed. There were many ills that beset the state of Malchut Yehuda, and Yehoiada, the uncle, and the Kohen Gadol acted as a regent until Yosh came of age, and he knew that there had to be a new leaf turned over in the kingdom's history. Yoash worked hard to collect the money necessary to renovate the temple, and now we are going to look at the psukim themselves. So the connection to the Parsha Shkalim is very clear. Parsha Shkalim is about the machatzita shekel, half shekel contribution that was required to be donated by the men of Israel every year for the upkeep of the Beit HaMikdash, and that's what we read about here in the Haftorah. Okay, one more nekuda from the Steinsaltz Nevi'im. Yehoash was the full name of Yoash, and this is how he's referred to in the Bible over the course of his reign. It is fitting that Yehoash, who had been hidden throughout his childhood in the house of God, takes care of the maintenance and renovation of the temple in his adult years. Later, when an enemy threatens Yehuda from without, an external enemy, Yehoash uses the money in the temple treasury and the royal storehouses to pay off the threatening army, and therefore he prevents an attack on Jerusalem. Melachim Bet, Perek Yud-Bet, Pasuk Aleph, Ben Shavah Shonim Yehoash B'Machol. Yehoash was 7 years old when he became king of Malchus Yehuda. B'Shnat Shavah L'Yehu, Malach Yehoash V'Arba'im Shana Malach B'Yerushalayim, B'Shem Imo Tzviya Mibe'er Shavah. And the 7th year of Yehu, Yoash became king. Steinsaltz Nevi'im. Yehu had killed Yoash's father when he ascended to power 7 years earlier. And now we are told that Yoash takes the throne. He rules for 40 years in Jerusalem, and we have just learned the name of his mother, Tzviya, from Be'er Sheva. Vayas Yoash Hayashar Be'nei Hashem Kol Yemav. Yoash was a good king. He was a righteous king. He went in the ways of God all the days of his life. Asher Haro Yehoyada Kohen. How did he know what to do, especially if he only took over when he was 7? Because Yehoyada, the Kohen, his uncle, guided him along the proper path. Ho Rahu, from the word Mora, Hora'ah, Torah, instruction. Rak habamos lo saru ara'am is bachim umiktarim babamos. There was, however, an unfortunate situation throughout the kingdom, and that is that people were still offering sacrifices, the mzvachim and ketores on the bamos, which is contrary, this is against Torah law, this was not permitted. Vayomer Yehoash al kohanim. And now Yosh comes and he says to the Kohanim, call Kesef HaKadoshim Asher Yuva Beis Hashem Kesef Over Ish Kesef Nefashos Erko. He says to the Kohanim, all of the consecrated silver that is brought to the house of Hashem, the silver that is levied yearly from each person, our connection to Parsha Shkalim, the silver, Nafshos Erko, the valuation of a person, called Kesef Asher Yala Alev Ish Lahavi Beis Hashem. Furthermore, not only what they are obligated to bring the half a shekel, but whatever their heart motivates them to bring as a voluntary offering to the house of Hashem. What should we do with all that money? Remember, Yehoash or Yoash wants to fix what is broken. It's a time of idol worship. It's a time of bamos. It's a time of turning away from God. It's a time of corruption. He wants to fix this. So he says to the Kohanim, the silver that is donated, whether it's the yearly contribution or a voluntary contribution, Pasuk Vav, Yichu lahem haKohanim ish me'es makaro. So the Kohanim should take every person from that who he recognizes. Behem yichazku as bedek habayis. And what will this money be used for? Bedek habayis. We're going to upkeep. We're going to repair the Beit HaMikdash with this money. L'chol asher yimatzer sham bedek. Okay, wherever we find a need to do an improvement in temple renovations, that's what this money, the Kohanim, he is just appointed in charge of collecting this money, and they are going to take the money and it'll be used for repairing the Beit HaMikdash. However, Vayhi Bishnat Esim V'Shalo Shana Lamech Yehoash, it was in the 23rd year of his rulership, Lo Chizku HaKohanim at Bedek HaBayit, the Kohanim did not maintain the repair of the house. In other words, Steinsaltz Nevi'im, the priest, the Kohanim, had received the gifts, but there was no centralized method of collection. There was also no one supervising the maintenance. Reminds me of a pasuk from Sefer Shoftim, Ish Hayashar Bein Avyasa. It was too chaotic. If this priest was getting, this Kohen was getting this amount from that person, this amount from that person, there was no centralized location or government, if you will, in a sense, to oversee the money. So things were not being done properly. The renovations were not being done properly. This is in the 23rd year of his rule. So what does Yoash do? Pasuk Ches. So King Yehoash calls Yehoyada,
the Kohen, and he calls all the Kohanim, and he says to them, Madua Einchem Mechazkim Es Bedek HaBayis. Why are you not maintaining, strengthening the upkeep of the house of Hashem? V'ato, and now, Al Tichu Kasov Me'es Makorechem. You know what? We're going to change things. Do no longer, you should not take silver from those that you recognize. Ki the Bedek HaBayit Itnu. It should be given rather for the repair of the house themselves. So now we're going to have a new institution. It's going to somehow go directly to the temple treasury instead of to the Kohanim themselves. This one collects from his neighbor, this one from his neighbor, this one from his friend. It's not working. We need a centralized way to allocate the funds, collect the funds, and make sure that the temple's repaired as it needs to be. Pasuk tes, v'ye asu ha-kohanim, and the Kohanim agreed, levilti kichach, kichat, kesef, me'eda am. They agreed that they're not going to take money from the nation. Levilti chazek and bedek abay. They are not going to be in charge anymore, the Kohanim, of the upkeep and the renovations of the Beit HaMikdash. So what did Yehoyada, the Kohen, do, who Yehoash consulted with? Vayikach Yehoyada Kohen Aaron Echad. So Yehoyada comes up with an ingenious system. He takes a certain chest, an Aaron, Av Reish Vavnan, doesn't mean Aaron Kodesh. He takes some kind of box, some kind of chest, some kind of storage house. Vayikov Chor Bidalta. And what does he do? He bores a hole into the lid of this chest. Vayitin also eats on Mizbeach Miyamim. He puts the chest next to the altar, next to the Mizbeach, on the right side of the altar. Bevo Ish Beit Hashem. And now, when a person would come to the house of Hashem, V'naknu Shama HaKohanim Shor Miyasav Es Kol HaKasav HaMuva Beit Hashem. So now, when somebody comes and they want to donate money to the Beit HaMikdash, all the money that they give goes into this box. This chest is for the temple funds, and that's where it goes. And so that there's not this coin's getting this amount of kesef, this coin's getting that amount of kesef. It's centralized, it's easy, it's smooth, and it's the same for everybody. You have a donation, it goes into this chest. And it would be when they saw that the silver in the chest was abundant, so at that time they would call the sofer, the scribe of the king, very important position, in charge of writing official documents for the kingdom. And they would call the Kohen Gadol. They would come, and together they would collect all of the kesef, and they would count how much was found for the temple of God. What did they then do? The Sofer HaMelech and the Kohen Gadol, they gave the silver that was counted into the hands of the workmen who were appointed, Pasuk Girbet, over the maintenance of the renovations on the upkeep of the house of Hashem. It was given out to the carpenters and the builders who were working on the repairs in the house of the Lord. It was given to the masons to build fences and walls. It was given to the hewers of stones. It was given to purchase timber and quarried stone to maintain the repair of the Beit HaMikdash. It was given for any necessary repairs for the house of the Beit HaMikdash, the Chazakah, Pasuk Yud Gimel, last word, in order to keep it strong. We have a much better system now that was instituted by Yehoash. We don't have to worry that there is any dishonesty, there is any neglect, there's any mistakes, there's any inequality. All of the money that's brought goes into the box. It's then counted by the Sofer HaMelech and the Kohen Gadol, and it is given to the artisans who need it in order to keep up the Beit HaMikdash. Pasuk Yud Dalet. However, Pasuk Yudala, let's go. Ach lo yasa Beit Hashem sipo kesef mizamro mizrako chatzotzot kol klizav klizav. But the cups of silver, musical instruments, bowls that received the blood of the korbano, the trumpets, the famous chatzotzot, all vessels of gold or silver, what about those? Would not be crafted from the house of the Lord, min hakesef hamuva Beit Hashem. So that money that was brought and put into the box was not for the cups of silver, musical instruments. It was not for bowls to receive the blood of the korbanah. It wasn't for the trumpets. It wasn't for vessels of gold or silver that would be crafted. No, it was for that money that was brought was specifically for bedek habayis, for upkeep of the Beit HaMikdash. So then, Pasuk Tezvav tells us, they would give it to the workmen and they maintained with it the house of the Lord. In other words, Steindl's Nevi'im, they used the money solely for renovating the temple. If any funds were left over, perhaps they were used for the preparation of such vessels, but their primary purpose was not the vessels. Their primary purpose was to upkeep the temple. Just like a home needs to be upkept, so too the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyachol, certainly needs to be upkept. Pasuk Tet Zayin. We already did Pasuk Tezvav outside. Pasuk Tezayin. V'lo yichashvu es ha'nashim asher yinu es ha'kesef al yadam la'teil osei ha'malacha. They do not require an accounting from the men. They were not suspicious of Velo Yechashu. They were not thinking about. They were not suspicious. They didn't require an accounting from the men by whose hand they gave the silver to give to the workmen. Ki va'emuna heim osim, because they acted with trustworthiness. The group of treasurers that oversaw the funds of the Beit HaMikdash were trusted. The Shofar HaMelech and the Kohen Gadol were trusted. There was no need to demand an accounting. So we have a whole new system where things make sense. Everyone trusts everyone. The Kesef is going where it is supposed to be going. Last Pasuk, Pasuk Gidzayin, Kesef Asham v'Kesef Chatos lo yuva Beit Hashem. Silver of Asham offerings, guilt offerings, and silver that was used for the purchase of chatos offerings, sin offerings, would not be brought to the house of the Lord. Why? Steindl's Nevi'im. It was not designated for temple maintenance, just like the bowls and the musical instruments and the trumpets. This money that Yoash instituted the system was specifically for Badak HaBayis, the upkeep of the home. Therefore, that money of the Korbano was used specifically for the Kohanim. Steindl's Nevi'im, if people set aside money for the purchase of a guilt offering, Asham, or a sin offering, Chatos, and some of the coins were left over, that remainder was not used for the temple maintenance, but for buying burnt offerings, the hides of which were given to the Kohanim. So we can see the connection to the Parsha Shkalim very, very beautifully, but I think that there's a very beautiful lesson here, and that lesson is that a Jew must measure his worth not by investing in gashmias for purposeless toil, not for investing in gashmias for the sake of gashmias, but when we use the material gifts that Hashem gives us to serve Him, this is the greatest purpose of Avodah Hashem. That is how we utilize Olam Hazah. We should always be saying, Badak HaBayit, how can I upkeep the home of Hashem, whether it's the Jewish home that we build, whether it is the Beit Knesset, whether it is the Beit Midrash, yes, whether it's the virtual Beit Midrash of the OU Women's Initiative, which reaches around the world. A Jew has to say, how am I contributing to the upkeep of Suli Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Socham? We want God to dwell. We have to make sure we use the material gifts that He gives us for the purpose of serving Kosh Baruch Hu. Like the Pasuk says, Chagai Lia Kesef Veli Hazav Nu'um Hashem Tzavakot. Hashem says, the silver is mine. The gold is mine, says Hashem, the Lord of hosts. I give it to you, Am Yisrael. I want to see what you will do with it. Parsha Shkalim reminds us of the annual Machatzis HaShekel that was collected every year Bisman Shebeit HaMikdash HaYakayim. And clearly, the Haftar so beautifully ties into this with the righteous king, Yoash / Yehoash, who reinstituted reforms to bring Kedusha back, La'ameinu, La'artseinu, and to the Beit HaMikdash. Thank you so much, everyone, for learning with me. Have a wonderful day, Be'ezrat Hashem, Shabbat Shalom.